Welcome back to the news at one. And the news from London this lunchtime is that UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has tested positive for coronavirus. And just in the past few minutes, the news that another cabinet member, Matt Hancock, is also positive. Here's Mr. Johnson's statement on Twitter from a short time ago.
Hi, folks. I want to bring you up to speed with something that's happening today, which is that I've developed mild symptoms of the coronavirus. That's to say, a temperature and a persistent cough. And on the advice of the chief medical officer, I've taken a test that has come out positive. So I am working from home. I'm self-isolating. And that's entirely the right thing to do. But be in no doubt that I can continue, thanks to the wizardry of modern technology, to communicate with all my top team to lead the national fight back against coronavirus.
Boris Johnson speaking just a short while, and as I was saying, also confirmed just in the past few minutes that another British cabinet member, Matt Hancock, is also positive for coronavirus. Our London correspondent, Sean Whelan, has more. And judging from his appearance on Twitter anyway, Sean, Mr. Johnson appears reasonably well. But there are implications in this, aren't there, for a lot of people in the UK cabinet and leaving their COVID-19 response. And the latest from Matt Hancock, an example of that.
Well, indeed, and Matt Hancock would have been those he would have been working most closely with, obviously, in the midst of a health crisis. Your health minister is possibly your most important minister that you'd be in very regular contact with. Also, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, who was in here in Downing Street yesterday evening, launching that very large aid package for self-employed workers. But he's been in and out of here several times over the past week, making major announcements. But again, your Chancellor, the guy who lives next door, would be a person you'd see quite a lot. Mr. Sunak's aides reporting this morning he is feeling fine and hasn't done any tests for COVID-19. But I guess in the wake of what we've just learned in the past few minutes about Matt Hancock, he might want to reconsider that. And then, of course, there's all the people who work in Number 10. I mean, it is the Prime Minister's residence, but the bit he lives in is a small apartment in the top of the building. This rather large building is a functioning office building with a lot of people who work in here. And they would be in frequent contact with the Prime Minister as well.
And what happens in the event that Mr. Johnson's condition deteriorates?
If he's unable to perform his functions, then the job of Prime Minister effectively devolves to Dominic Raab, who as Foreign Secretary holds the position of First Secretary of State, and he would take over the functioning of the Office of Prime Minister.
We'll be hearing throughout the programme concerns here in Ireland, in the States, about flattening the curve, having enough staff and equipment to cope with the surge. Having changed tack, how is the UK response going overall?
Well, the response of the public is going pretty well, I think. The social distancing measures have cut in. You can see walking around the streets of London, there's hardly anybody out here. You can look up into the skies. You see hardly any aeroplanes. You don't hear them either because the aircraft traffic into this city, one of the busiest air hubs in the whole of Europe, possibly in the whole of the world. Nothing going. Indeed, Gatwick Airport announced earlier this morning it's closing one of its terminals, the North Terminal. Yesterday, London City Airport announced it was shutting down. So a large part of the economic life of the country is going into shutdown. But the effects on the National Health Service are, of course, becoming more manifest. We've had senior health figures yesterday talking about a tsunami of cases coming into the health service here in London, which is one of the two hotspots in the UK. These cases are going to just inexorably keep coming into the health service. The peak expected here in London in maybe 8 to 10 days' time, when very, very large numbers are expected to be presenting into emergency wards for specialist treatment. And that's why they're converting this very large exhibition centre, the XL Centre, down actually very close to the London City Airport, into a 4,000-bed treatment centre for people who require additional treatment, but not necessarily the very intensive care type treatment. They've also expanded the number of intensive care beds, and they've been clearing the wards effectively, getting as many people out of hospitals as they can get out, and not taking any more certainly elective cases in, designating one of the hospitals, Barts, as the emergency elective centre for the whole of London, but really getting all of the other hospitals ready. And the cases are increasing, there's no doubt about that. We had one hospital in North London this day last week running out of intensive care beds and having an emergency for a period of a few hours until they were able to secure some more beds for ICU. But there's no doubt that the health service is going to come under massive, massive strain here in the next couple of weeks.
Sean Whelan in London, thank you.